Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go.
When I say dominant, I'm not talking about the perspective of controlling others. I'm talking about taking control of their situation.
It's just so damn sexy. Really letting men be men. I think when women start really letting men be men, we get a lot of benefits from it.
I wrote a book in 2020 called The Complete Men. And our biggest advocates today for my book are women. Men no longer feel comfortable dominating in the bedroom. Men, we don't connect via words as much as we do in terms of having sex. That's our way of connecting to feminine energy. That's the other way of releasing. The other one is being with your partner, with your wife, your significant other, to be able to let that energy go.
Yes.
And when women don't allow men to be able to do that, wow, those men get cranky. They get upset and they get resentful and they look for it elsewhere. When a woman is in her feminine energy, it is a lot easier for her to be able to get her man to be receptive and do the things that she wants him to do.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I am Layla. Happy Saturday, guys. I'm super excited with today's guest. Today I have Pradeep Sangha, and he is widely known as the strategist and teaches men how to become the complete man. His personal mission is to help men grow their businesses massively, increase their personal fulfillment in life, and improve their relationships with their wife and kids. He's the founder behind the movement of men becoming mindful alpha males. Men who experience complete victory and have it all. As an award-winning author, entrepreneur, speaker, podcaster, business advisor, husband, and father, Pradeep knows exactly how tough it can be to balance a successful business with a happy family. After studying and working with some of the most successful men around the globe, Pradeep shows men the neuroscience behind becoming limitless. Welcome, Pradeep, to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm excited. Okay. I have to ask you just straight out of the gate. I have three questions. I'm going to boom, boom, boom. But even before, usually I ask a guest, like, give me a little bit about your background. But this is the first thing that was at the top of my list. I said, what is a real man? And when was the last time you changed a tire on the side of the road or the oil in something?
Yeah, really good question. Okay. So the first question is, what is a real man? It's an interesting question because there's a biological definition to it, right? There's a male versus a female, but the man, we're talking about social structure and we're talking about social behavior. And that's kind of up for debate these days because there's been a lot of challenges when it comes to masculinity per se. So what I'd like to really talk about is the difference in terms of masculinity. And it could be a social masculinity or it could also be energetic, what we're talking about that. And this is where you could say social plus spiritual plus philosophical kind of meet. I like to use the term alpha male and mindful alpha male because that's kind of the approach that we take. And really, if we take a look at the word alpha, that's been misconstrued by society quite a bit, actually. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. It is the beginning. It's the origin. And what we see a lot of guys not doing these days is actually taking control of their life and their destiny. And they're more, instead of being creators and alpha males, they're actually being followers. Unfortunately, what that does is that leads them to live a life of circumstance versus a life that they've created in terms of their own destiny. So it's really about taking charge. It's about being creative and being the creator of the life that you want. And I think a lot of guys these days are very passive. And that's the big challenge. The other part to that, though, is you can't be an alpha male unless you're actually mindful of your actions. And what that means is that whatever you do, you know that it's going to have an impact on other people and you're aware and you're consciously and mindfully aware of the consequences of your actions. So there's a lot of alpha males out there. There's a lot of people taking charge and being, let's just say, when I say dominant, I'm not talking about the perspective of controlling others. I'm talking about taking control of their situation, but they're not mindful of other people. We see that a lot in politics these days, where you got a lot of these guys out there and they're driven and they're motivated and they're getting the job done, but it's actually having a negative influence and impact on other people. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that this concept of what is a man today is actually being questioned. Because many men have been, I'm going to say, belligerent for centuries. And now it's kind of come back full speed around where it's like, okay, well, because you guys have abused the power, now it's kind of, it's a sense of you no longer have the ability to be men and be in leadership positions. And so I think that's, there's some danger to that as well. But this concept of being a man is very up in the air, especially when it comes to society.
Can I ask you, do you think that when you say men have abused the power, do you think they have?
Oh, absolutely. I think they have. And we're still seeing that. And I'm not saying all men, right? That's a generalization. We've had some very good leaders, but I think many from a, if I take a look at some of the stuff that's happening right now, I don't want to get into details, but there are people in power that are just not being mindful. They're saying things that they know will hurt other people, that will hurt communities. And this is the kind of behavior that's led to the reason why people are questioning, should men in particular have positions of power? Should they be given the reins? Should they even be called men? But I think there's a lot more mindful conversations around this that are happening now.
Yes. And then, like I said, when was the last time you changed a tire or like on the side of the road or changed oil on some type of machinery?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I haven't had a flat tire for a long time. So I haven't had to change a flat tire. My truck, I usually get serviced because I get other things done at the same time. But I just changed my lawnmower oil yesterday.
See, I think that's man stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. Well, I grew up on an orchard. So I grew up on an orchard. I was driving tractors ever since I was 10 years old. So I'm very familiar with machinery. I'm very familiar with fixing things. I'm very familiar with building. That's just kind of the life I grew up with. I grew up with very, you can say, manly men. And when I say manly, I'm talking about very strong, resilient men that put in hard work and effort. And they, like I remember my dad growing up, my dad slashed his hand accidentally as he was working with something and it was just bleeding like crazy. And it was like next to nothing for him. It's like, okay, I'll just wrap it up and continue working. That's not how a lot of guys these days operate, right? So it's...
They're going to be out of workers' comp.
Yeah, yeah. It's a completely different... I use this quite a bit because even my dad's generation, things changed quite a bit. But my grandfather's generation, so my grandfather was in the army in India for 30 plus years, but a very spiritual man. He was I'm going to say that aspect when I talk about mindful alpha male, he would be a perfect person to really be the showcase for that because he was both in war, but he was also very spiritual and very mindful. But I say all the time, they don't make men like that anymore. It's like that generation of principles, values, you know, your word is your bond. That's changed significantly these days.
Couldn't agree more. This is one of the, as I've done this show and it started out as, I mean, it still predominantly is, you know, it's about me and my journey and my sex life and my wild little adventures and things like that. But probably one of the most interesting things and one of the biggest things that the takeaways that I've had is really starting to learn about men and be fascinated by men and starting to really have this desire and urge to understand them, which seems kind of like a strange thing to say that it never dawned on me to be that curious and really want to like get to know the inner workings and intricacies of men. But I don't think I'm alone in that boat. I think it gets overlooked, but it's been fascinating for me. What I feel has been the most valuable about this whole 8 years is really just my expanded appreciation for men. And just how as so fascinating how we're designed kind of for each other. And but we got to let men be men. You really got to let them be men and appreciate that because it's sexy.
Yeah, it can be.
From my point of view, I'm like, it's just so damn sexy. Really letting men be men, and they don't need to be emasculated and picked on so much. And I feel that we've had the pendulum has swung so many different ways, but I think what's happening now is I think we are starting to finally, I think I'm generalizing when I say, I think women are starting to kind of wake up a little bit where they're really starting to, I think you're starting to see women that are going, wait a minute. Yeah. Men are pretty fucking sexy. And we need to clue in and pay attention to what it is we love about them so much and stop trying to take that away from them, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
It just, it's been very, very interesting. I'm so appreciative for my year's experience, but that's really been one of the most fascinating learning lessons is just going like, men are really fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, I love them, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I love having that feeling. Like, I feel like if more, you know, if more women had that just where you're really kind of very interested in them, I feel like men naturally have that interest in women. They'll take the time to learn us, what makes us tick. You know, you guys, you'll learn what we like in bed and you're pretty flexible. If we say, hey, I want to try this, you're like, okay. You know, I mean, like, you guys are pretty basic creatures, which is so wonderful. And I've just really learned to be like, look at that. Like, he pumped my gas, you know, like, that's so cool. You know, like, I didn't have to do that. Like, wow. I think when women start really letting men be men, we get a lot of benefits from it.
Oh, absolutely. So there's so many things that, as you were talking, that we could unwrap there.
Yeah.
But it is I grew up in a traditional Indian household. So my parents immigrated from India and there were very clear gender roles. And so my mom worked hard. She had to work because she didn't have any education and they didn't have like high paying jobs until they built their own business. So my mom worked just as hard, if not harder than my dad.
Yeah.
But they had very clear gender roles at home. And I grew up with that. And that was actually a good thing because we got to see the dynamics of the masculine and feminine put in place. And so my dad was a very masculine man, but he was also very emotional. Like, he showed his emotions and he was also a big dude. He was a big guy. He was an ex-police officer in India. And so when he walked into the room, you could feel his presence without even having to see him. And so that masculinity has been changed throughout the years. And I think one of the reasons why is, we could talk about this for hours, but there's a huge feminist movement in the 60s and 70s that was a backlash. Some of it was needed, obviously. But to the degree and the extent, I think we're seeing the challenges of that today, because it has really shifted. A lot of guys these days, one of the biggest problems that we hear, I have friends in this area that are relationship experts and counselors and psychotherapists and psychologists. And they say that women in the 30s right now, 20s and 30s, are having a tough time because they can't find masculine men.
I'm hearing this. This is an interesting, go ahead. I'm hearing this. I'm going to throw my 2 cents in on that, but go ahead.
Yeah, because we haven't, the next generation, we've lost that level of mentorship. So I was mentored by my grandfather. I was mentored by my father. But kids these days are getting mentored by the internet, influencers, all these different things. And we've lost that wisdom. And as a result, these, I'm going to say, young boys have been raised without mentors who are truly masculine, or they haven't seen what masculinity is really about. And for, you know, I don't talk a lot about on the female side or the women's side, because I tend to focus on the man's perspective, because I believe that if we can help shift men, then it all, obviously, from a woman's perspective, she can see the difference in men, or they can see the difference in men. So I don't need to talk to women. That's not my group, but I talk a lot to men. But what ends up happening is now that women are starting to realize that I don't feel safe being around me, a man that's not masculine, because I don't know if he can protect me or stand up for me or has the right principles and morals and values to really do the right thing. They're starting to see the benefits now of strong masculine men and how they put themselves on the line and their lives on the line for the people and the women around in their lives. So we're seeing, going back to what you're saying, there's a lot of women now. Like, I wrote a book in 2020 called The Complete Man. And our biggest advocates today for my book are women.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when they've taken the time, like you talked about, trying to understand the men in their lives, and when they read it, You know, some of them, I've heard comments like this. You know what? When I first started reading your book, I hated you. And then by the time I got to the end, I absolutely loved you. And the reason why is they fully start to understand what men are about and the benefits of having masculine men around. So they have given it to their husbands, their business partners, their even fathers, their sons, because they believe that it's a benefit to them. So I think when women understand how men operate and the benefits of it, it's a win-win for everybody.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So what do you think, in your experience, are the most common challenges men face in aligning their personal desires? And how do you, like, how do you address that?
Okay, so if we talk about that's a big question there. Their personal desires, if you take a look at how men are built, fundamentally, let's just say if a man has been raised healthy by a healthy family system or unit or has had healthy mentors, they're typically the number one goal when I work with men, and we've worked with thousands of men, is to serve their family. That is their number one goal. If you see why they work their butts off, do what they do, spend long hours or whatever it is, it's to provide a lifestyle for their family or their employees or community or whatever that is. And so when we truly understand that, like the very few of the guys that have gone through our programs or that we worked with, for example, say, I'm doing it for me, right? This is for me. And unfortunately, their biggest challenge is that they're doing so much for their family or their kids and stuff, they forget about themselves and they lack fulfillment for themselves. So I'm talking about healthy men. I'm not talking about unhealthy men, because there's a whole group of unhealthy men that are doing it for ego. They're building mass wealth for power and status because they can't get that from within themselves. But for the healthy men, that's their desire, is to serve and provide a lifestyle and a future for their families.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think, you know, this is the thing. Like, I don't even think you guys, it's second nature. Like, you just, most men, I think, just kind of naturally know, like, that's my role. And they rise to the occasion, or they're trying to. And then we've got societal stuff that makes that different, just whether you talk about politics, you know, whatever the thing, the forces are that are exerting pressure on that goal. But yeah, and you guys just do it naturally. And I know from trying to kind of do all that myself, and having been successful at it in business and taking care of my own stuff, doing everything, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, it's like I realized a while back, like, oh my goodness, this does not make me happy. I don't feel, this is not my balanced homeostatic level here, wanting to just compete against men. And I'm not saying that I can't, but I started to also really, like, again, understand when I started to look at men better, you know, more closely, then I really started to really appreciate the balance between the masculine and the feminine. And one's not weaker or stronger. It's just that you together, you can be a really good team. But you kind of got to get out of each other's ways. And especially right now, I think more women need to get out of the guys' ways than the other way around at this point. So it's just kind of really going, men are designed to take a lot of stress.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I know. The stress that I don't want to take on, and you guys just do it. You know, you don't even think twice about it. And you know, that's what you're built for. And so I've talked a lot about this personally, just on the show, just where my own evolution with it, and really try to talk to women directly about it. Like, hey, lighten up on your guy. Like you just said, you're out there, you're working, you will go and do all this stuff because you have to provide and protect. And then the sad part is that then these, after going out and slaying dragons all day, you know, the guy comes home. And he's nagged,
yeah.
And his wife won't have sex with him.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
And I, that's where I say, this is where I call women out. I'm like, ladies, you have to understand how just ungrateful that seems. You know, we got to change some things around here and come at this. We can reach a better agreement with our male counterparts on this stuff, because you guys are really out there working hard. And I'm wondering, do you have maybe a specific story you can share from your work, you know, about a client? I'm really curious about, too, the sexuality aspects, maybe where you guys had a discussion on male sexuality and it kind of maybe opened into a deeper conversation about men's wants and needs, maybe what women would be surprised to know about that end of it.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're talking about the sexual realm, for example, I think this is another thing that's changed for men, is men no longer feel comfortable dominating in the bedroom. And when I say dominating, taking control in the bedroom. And so they've, not that we're necessarily gotten soft, but we also are human beings as well. So we don't like rejection. And so a lot of men these days have, because they haven't taken control and said, hey, look, I want to have, or they've, I'll give you an instance. There's you asked for a specific story, a gentleman who just, his wife wouldn't have sex with him. And what I realized was, and when we went through it, he wasn't really giving her the signs. He wasn't really stepping up. And it's because in the previous encounters in their past, when they were having troubles, she had rejected him a few times. So as a result of that, and when I say rejected, she just basically didn't show interest. And as a result of that, he stopped actually initiating.
Yeah.
And the assumption was that she doesn't want to. Well, on the women's side too, women want a man who's going to say, okay, let's go, let's get it on, right? But there has to be a level of trust between the two as well. And so I believe it's absolutely critical. It's so critical for men to be able to do that, because here's, for men, it's a way of connecting. Men, we don't connect via words as much as we do in terms of having sex. That's our way of connecting to the feminine energy. It's our way of actually releasing all that tension, all that buildup, all that, you know, I have these conversations with my wife all the time. She knows when I'm starting to get cranky, and I tell her, I'm like, okay, I need that feminine energy. I need to be able to release, right? Because that's my channel of being able to release. Aside from working out, that's the other way of releasing. But the other one is being with your partner, with your wife, your significant other, to be able to let that energy go.
Yes.
And when women don't allow men to be able to do that, wow, those men get cranky. They get upset and they get resentful and they look for it elsewhere. And that's the difference between men. Men, the masculine energy is about releasing, whereas the feminine energy is about absorbing, right? And I think both, the key thing here is that masculine energy needs to be strong. It needs to have good intent for the feminine energy to be able to accept it. But when there is that acceptance, it becomes extremely powerful. And my wife knows this. Like you said something, both are very powerful. I believe the feminine energy is actually even more powerful than the masculine energy, because it's closer to the source energy. It's able to create new life, feminine energy. And when a woman is in her feminine energy, it is a lot easier for her to be able to get her man to be receptive and do the things that she wants him to do.
It's very You guys are so much easier than we are. Oh my goodness. You're wired so simply and wonderfully. I mean, I don't mean that literally, you just don't go too far deep into the weeds when it comes to it's like, okay, yes, is this a yes? Is this a no? Like, boom, boom, boom. Women, we got to analyze it seven ways to Sunday, and then we got to back up over it another couple, 10 times. And, you know,
like roadkill, you got to drive over it about 100 times, right?
But you guys, you know, it's really nice. It's refreshing. I always say, I think women are lovely and beautiful, but I could not be with a woman because we would kill each other. We would drive each other crazy. I need that calm, steady male energy that just is like calming to me. Because you guys just don't, when you guys hit a trigger point, then it's time to pay attention. There's a reason. There's usually a good reason. It's usually safety, right? There's a reason. But for the most part, you know, you're just pretty easygoing, which is, that's so nice. And we like to convolute it as much as we can. But how do you think societal expectations affect male sexuality and the expression of their wants and needs? And again, feel free to throw in any personal examples or client examples.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. A few people that talk about this in this realm. So Dr. John Gray, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was a grandfather. He was on our podcast a few years ago, probably 5 years ago even. And it's something interesting that he said back when his book came out. He was like on every news broadcast station, morning show. And he said after a period of time, he wasn't able to get onto any of these shows. And it's because he was getting cut off by top producers because they didn't want that message out there. So his whole message was the difference between the feminine and masculine energy and how they need to work together.
My mom gave me that book, by the way. When I was like in my 20s, she's like, here, you're going to want to read this.
Yeah.
And I did. I was like, okay. You've got a pretty successful marriage. I think you know what you're talking about. All right. I was like, all right, I'll read it. It was a good. Yeah.
And so this whole concept of sex and how women and men work together, like if we're talking about things like tantra, right, or tantric sex, or elements of like of that type of stuff, it kind of went by the wayside over the last 20 years. People really, it's starting to come back a little bit more. But it was kind of like taboo because it was almost like this feminist movement was trying to put women in power and this whole thing about sexuality and men and women working together, that kind of went by the wayside. That's changed sexuality. I'm being very honest here. There's a lot of men out there that have lost their sex drives that because they've been taught and told to be more emotional, for example, right? Which is, there's nothing being in touch with your emotions. And then what ends up happening with women is that women have been masculinized. So we've had this whole imbalance of sexual energy.
Yes.
And so we have to rebalance that. So I know in my relationship, for example, when we don't have that chemistry, it's because my wife is working too much or she's too stressed or she's got her own business. She works multiple places. She's in the healthcare industry. And I just tell her, you got to calm down. Like, you don't need to do this. You don't need, but here's what's happened in terms of how she's been raised. She's had a mother that said, you should be independent. You shouldn't be dependent on a man for anything. But society that says to her, you know what, it's not good enough to be a mother and be a stay-at-home mom, for example. You have to have a career and be the best at everything, right? And so she gets stressed at that level. I can tell her sexuality drops. So for me to be able to have great intimacy with her and for us to have great sex, I have to get her out of her head. I have to get her in a place for her to relax. And sometimes that's a weekend away where it's just kind of like, okay, we're going to go away for the weekend. We're going to get a hotel just so you can get away from the stress. And I think that's the other thing too in today's society. There's so many stressed people these days. It's hard to have sex. It's hard to be sexual when you're stressed out. Look how many people, and I feel, I don't like to talk about this, but I feel sad for a lot of people out there because they're unable to have kids. So there's women and men, some of my friends that have been told that they're not fertile because for whatever reason, they're not able to have kids.
About this the other day, I have my theories. I have my theories on all this.
Well, I'd love to hear one of them because this is a good topic of conversation. I think it's now biologically impacting our human race.
Well, there's a lot of factors, I think. You know, we talk about the food system and all that. And
hormones.
And stuff that we're, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry and just stuff that we're bombarded with now that our parents' generation and then our grandparents' generation weren't bombarded with. But that's kind of one thing. But just to kind of get a little finite with it, I really believe that a big part of it is the messing up of the gender roles. And that screwed me up. I had a good example at home. I just kind of followed the trend. It was like, yeah, you know, you can go out there and kill it and make all this money and, you know, be the captain of your own ship. And I've been an entrepreneur for my whole life and it's great. It's great. But it's also what I realize is as a woman, oh my God, when I'm so much of that masculine energy, I don't view men as what they're designed for. I'm like, oh, this guy, you know, it's like, it's almost competitors. I don't want to view men like that. And I don't want to be talking down to men. And I don't want to be, you know, like you get in this, I don't know, it's a mindset and it you're in the fog. It takes a while to get out of, but I have gotten out of it. And the thing that brings is you start attracting the wrong type of man to you, because for the longest time, I couldn't understand why I had all these great guys in my life, but I just, something always felt off. And I was like, what's wrong? And I just thought, it's me. Something's wrong with me. I just don't, obviously, maybe I don't love that deeply, or I don't connect in the same way that other people do. And it finally took me getting really out of that masculine mode and starting to kind of really be in my feminine, or with a partner that helped me be in my feminine, because he was so much in his masculine. There was no room for two alphas. And once I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I don't have to be like this. I can let him do it. This feels really good. And that's where I really started to realize, like you said earlier, there is so much power in the feminine. And we just have to recognize how that's just as powerful. It's not like we don't have to try to be men and compete with them. We're working against ourselves when we do that, really, ultimately. But so there's that. So then, you know, so you got that societal thing kind of going on that was kind of telling women to, you don't need a man. And then I think one of the awful things that we're just now really realizing more what it's doing as far as fertility is birth control. And I think that young women are started out at 12. It's like, oh, she's got a little pimple, put her on birth control. Don't put your children on birth control. And all of this stuff, these are very strong, powerful hormones. And if you read the inserts, I recommend that ladies read, we need to start reading what we're putting in our body and not just accept that this is the right thing just because we want a quick fix. But what I switched away from and started doing, which I think is much better. And again, then you want men around you because you're letting your hormones are doing their natural things that you're supposed to do, is I just did fertility awareness method, which is you got 3 days, 72 hours really that you can get pregnant in a month. And birth control is like taking a shotgun to a mosquito, and you're wrecking a lot of stuff. And I know so many of my friends, you know, they're trying to have kids in their mid-30s and they're all going like, they can't get pregnant. They're having problems. And I'm like, what is with all this fertility issue? And I do believe a lot of it, I think a lot of it is from women who've been on birth control for a good possibly 15 years before they even start trying to conceive. And I think their reproductive systems are just stressed and wrecked.
Yeah, I agree with you 110%. The whole pharmaceuticals industry has set us up for, I'm going to say, challenging health conditions and biology long-term. I think we're going to see studies. I'm surprised they haven't come out yet. They have come out, but because the pharmaceutical companies are billions, right?
Yeah. Well, they're going to try to suppress anything, I think, for a while. But I think we are getting more information. And we're really right at the point where we would, right? Because in the 60s or around 63 or something like that, I think that might not be the exact year, but I know it was in the 60s, married women could get birth control. And then about a decade later, everybody could get it. And so we've had a good run here where now we are starting to see the effects of what this is doing to women. And I think the shocker to me was when I realized that the birth control that I happened to be on back when I was on it, my preference was Depo-Provera, which was actually a drug that they used to chemically castrate sex offenders with. And I was just like, ew, okay, wait a minute. That's when I was like, wait a fucking minute. That is when I got shook to my core, honestly. I was like, that's originally what the drug is intended for. And then it's like, oh, well, let's just see if we can pump this into women's bodies too. Hey, why not? And that's when I took offense.
Yeah, good move. Smart move.
Yeah. So anyway, I know that was like, we're getting off in the weeds here, but that's fine. That's what we do kind of on this show. So you have a podcast. Now, from your podcast episodes, I'm just wondering, like, what insights have you gained about men? I would love to know from your point of view, since you are a man. And how can men better communicate their struggles and their desires, especially when they're in a relationship?
Yeah. So I think the first thing for me is, every day is like a learning experience because I'm learning so much. You know, there's always a new situation or scenario that I come across. But I think the one thing that I've seen come up over and over and over again is men are not voicing their opinions. When I'm talking about mindful men are not voicing their opinions as much as they should be. They're becoming too tolerant of behavior that's not acceptable, whether that's in their relationship or from their kids or whatever it is. Because now it just trickles down into parenting as well. Whereas a father, you know, we have to be more understanding, which is important. You know, before they said, oh, you got to let your kids have more freedom, right? Permissive type of parenting. Now it's kind of full swing to say, no, they need a little bit, they need quite a bit of structure in their life. So that's why a father should be around and actually lay the ground rules. I think men have gotten weak in terms of laying ground rules for people in their lives. I see a lot of guys tolerating things, whether it's from their spouse or other people, that is not acceptable. Like, it should not be acceptable for any human being to be treated that way, anyway, men or women. And they take it because now men are told you should be more sensitive, right? And be more patient and not be as aggressive. The other thing that I learned is there are a crap load of men out there that are stuck in painful relationships because they are either afraid to lose their wealth, afraid to lose their status, or afraid to lose their kids. And so they're going along in their marriages that are just painful for them. And that's why they bury themselves in their work or their career or other things. And then women wonder, like, why is my husband spending so much time, you know, working? It's because he probably doesn't want to come home, right? Unless he's doing work and he knows he's providing a lifestyle. Those are just some high-level things that I've noticed. The other one is, yeah, these gender roles. There's a lot of men that are afraid right now. I just got a message from a gentleman in an overseas country, a prominent person that actually works with other men out there. And he said, you know what? Men in our country, in their country, high-powered executive men are losing their jobs now because this whole diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative has caused them to lose their positions. So that is also a challenge and something that I'm learning about men. The other part is when I say being an alpha male, that is so critical for men to do. It is our testosterone needs to be up at a high level for us to be able to function effectively.
Testosterone is so sexy.
Yeah. And if you're not working out hard or if you're not playing a physical sport or boxing or whatever it is, or having regular sex, your testosterone isn't going to be at the level where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's another thing. So why is this going on? Like, there's all these, and I don't know much about testosterone, but I do know, I do talk to enough guys and I do have enough people like yourself on the show. And there is a huge swing now with men and their testosterone levels, kind of like women and their fertility. It's kind of gotten all over the board now. And with men with low testosterone, it's becoming more and more normal and more and more normal. And where is that coming from? What is happening?
Well, I'm going to share my insight here because we have doctors on our extended teams and so forth. Part of it is stress. And it's not the right kind of stress. A man going to work and getting stressed is great. A man coming home and getting stressed by his wife is not so great. So that stress is a big factor. The other one is food and the chemicals in our food. So that is definitely a big part of it. We no longer have the nutrients that we need in our food to be able to produce proper hormones.
Everything GMO.
Yeah. The stuff that we put on our bodies and stuff that we put in our bodies are actually impacting testosterone levels. The other thing are men are spending less and less time with each other doing men stuff, which creates testosterone. So if you're out there playing a sport with the guys and hanging out with your guys often, you're going to have more testosterone, right? Working out, that's another thing. And men are not as physical as they used to be. So we are, and this is something that I debated this year, is do I get someone out there to take care of my lawn this year? And every year I delay it because I'm like, I love being outdoors because I grew up on it, but sometimes I'm just so busy that it's tough for me to do. But I said this year, no, I'm not going to get anybody because I enjoy that physical time outside. And that physical time outside does two things. It de-stresses me, but B, it also keeps me physically active so that I know that my testosterone levels will be at a higher level. There's more guys sitting at desks than being physically active, right? We're no longer cutting the grass. We're no longer growing our fruits and vegetables. We're not doing those physical things that a lot of guys are. We just don't have that physical activity anymore. And that is impacting testosterone. We could also talk about a lot of guys these days are just not having as much sex as they should be. There's guys, even in my social circle, that we've talked to friends and they've said, yeah, they haven't had sex for 3 months. It's like, what the, WTF?
I hear this all. Oh, no, this is a mind blower and it's sad and shocking. But over the years, I mean, I've had so many guys write in, send me voicemails. I mean, this is the norm.
It is the norm.
Unfortunately, it's the norm at this point. You know, it's not the exception. It's the rule. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, listen, I always tell ladies, I'm like, listen, ladies, we can do so much better than this. What on earth is happening? You're just brewing all, you are brewing all kinds of problems you do not want when you stop being intimate with your man, because you can starve a dog long, but they're going to go eat at some point. They've got to eat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I feel sorry for women too, because my wife, like I said, she's in the medical industry, and when she works with women, the two biggest complaints that they have, one is, and this is what she sees, they're low on energy, high in stress, and their hormones are all completely imbalanced. And a lot of it is because they're trying to balance being successful in their careers and then trying to, do everything at home too for the kids and everything. And then it's tough because they don't give society has just thrown everything away. It's just this whole gender neutrality thing too has really, like you said, screwed things up, because if you can't be, it's like taking two magnets. It's simple physics. You put the same ends together, they're going to push each other apart.
Yeah. Nature wins.
Yeah. Nature wins.
It's going to be very painful along the way as it's fighting to rebalance itself. And that's what I think is causing right now the pendulum to kind of swing back so sharply, is because it's too painful for people living the way they are right now with being married, being overstressed, overworked, and nobody's having any orgasms.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. There's less orgasms.
I mean, if you really think about it, when was the last time you had a really good orgasm and then you were in a bad mood afterwards at some point? Like, it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. It's just biologically, it is such a good thing. You got the oxytocin and then you can get all the good stuff. Yeah. So it makes sense. But that's, to come back to your question, there's a number of reasons why men's testosterone have been low. And I believe that's one of not having sex on a regular basis is probably the biggest factor.
Yeah. So you think it just starts to kind of taper off, or?
Oh, well, we know that does, right? Through biology, just like women's hormones change, our testosterone over 40 starts to drop significantly.
Yeah, but it's happening in young. So I'm saying it's like it's happening in age groups that it shouldn't be happening in, really. And I'm talking about people that are still well within, like, and women as well, when they should have great, wonderful, healthy sex drives. And they don't. And again, I say birth control. Is this like a shocker here? It's suppressing pregnancy. It's all the stuff that drives all that is your hormones. And that's what makes you horny. When you're messing around with that, it's no surprise you're not going to want it. You're just like, oh, I guess I just don't, whatever. Yeah, no.
We can break it down very simply for people. It's eating healthy, exercise, having good relationships, and keeping the stress low. If you can focus on those four things, you're going to have a greater appetite for sex. But that's the challenge. And the reason why we're seeing the younger generation is because even the younger generation, they are becoming more stressed. We're seeing that social media, for example, influences on them. They're psychologically and emotionally more stressed than physically. See, when I grew up on an orchard, I was getting up at 3:30 in the morning, working 12, 14 hours a day. I was physically stressed. But that allowed my testosterone to actually increase.
Right.
Right. So I find, for example, and I'm sharing this personally myself, when I go back, because our orchard is on the other side of the country, but when I go back there and where I'm actually working there, I'm probably 10 times more aroused because I'm doing physical work and I'm in nature. Like, I can physically feel it. I can physically, emotionally feel my level of sexuality just skyrocket.
Yeah. When I actually, so I always tell women, exercise. You need to be exercising. It makes you horny.
Yeah. And for men to get out, do physical things, play sports, win, get aggressive a little bit, right? It's okay to be a man. It's okay to show your aggression. When we hold this aggression within us, it doesn't do us any favors. We got to be able to let that out and actually exercise that.
Yes. No, agreed. I love this. We're getting off on all these fun subjects. Okay. So I was looking at some of your podcast episodes and you have an episode called We Need to Be Understood. So obviously there's a misconception that I was under as well when I was younger, that men don't need to be understood. Like they're like robots, you know, I mean, they have simple needs and simple desires, right? And really nothing we know kind of like, that's not true. But I'm curious about that episode and what were some of the points you hit on that one? Because I want to know, why do you think this isn't so obvious that men, you know, need to be understood? Sounds so basic when you say it, but for whatever reason, it really has been overlooked for a long time, that simple fact.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons is because men are not as verbal and generalizing, not as communicative, meaning that they're not going to share their open stresses, challenges, fears with the woman in their life. And it's important for, you don't have to have a drawn out conversation, but if a man's woman understands where he comes from and he feels like she understands, that's all he needs to have. But when he feels misunderstood, when he feels like, for example, intentions, you know, I've had guys that are like, my wife keeps complaining that I'm working long hours, yet she's going out and buying Gucci friggin' purses all the time. And who do you think's paying for them? And so this kind of behavior, for example, when if she's like, okay, I need you home more, then there should be understanding, okay, maybe I might not get that extravagant vacation that I'm asking for, right? And so there has to be a level of understanding there, also in terms of character and intention. Because sometimes, and I think the feminine energy has a tendency to do this, test men, right? Test the man in their life because they're constantly trying to figure out, is that man solid enough? And so I always, whenever I'm having conversations with men and women, and this happens on occasion where the woman's like, I just don't understand my man, is you have to trust his intentions and trust his character and know what his intentions and what his character are. I think a lot of men or women don't fully understand their man's character, like who they truly are, you know, what they are about, what values they live by. And when they don't understand, so for example, when a man makes a decision and it's not supported by his woman because she doesn't fully understand and because she maybe hasn't asked the questions or maybe she's assuming something, and then he's like, why doesn't she trust me in this decision? I'm making it on behalf of the family. I'm not doing this in a selfish manner. I'm doing this for my wife and my kids. You know, there's a little bit of resentment that comes back. And I think we're seeing more and more of this. And this is one of the biggest challenges men are facing, is because they don't feel like they can wear the pants in the relationship anymore. And they can't make the same decisions and take control, right? Not be controlling, but take control.
Women don't like the S word, submission.
Yeah.
See, I think that word's sexy because I know it's not a weak thing. I know it's a common sense thing. To me, it's like you're talking about, like, when you know that there's decisions, everybody's got their role. You know, you have to trust him. Let him do his role. He trusts you. He's letting you do your thing. You know, let him do his thing. But I think a lot of women, you know, they want to micromanage and ultimately kind of infantilize their man when they start doing that, when they're questioning and nitpicking and things like that. And nobody likes that. Nobody wants that dynamic from their partner. It's like a child role, and that won't work. But yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so that's where if you can, I'm so glad to hear you say that you took the time and the effort and went down the path of understanding men. And I think if the vast majority of women actually did that, we'd have stronger relationships, we'd have stronger society, we wouldn't have men and women competing. We literally would have a better community at this point. And it would rebalance things. That would be, it's not just that. It's not the singular factor. It is a factor because men need to step up as well. That's the other side of the equation. We are not stepping up as much as we should. We are not mentoring each other like we should. and saying, you know what, we got to step up our game here as men, and be mindful, alpha males. So there's two sides to the equation.
Do you believe that there's a link between male sexuality and leadership and entrepreneurial success? Do you think?
Oh, 100%. It's a whole concept of being an alpha male. If you're a leader of the pack, if you're actually taking charge and taking leadership, which is the whole point of, that's a whole concept of entrepreneurship, right? You're taking your life in your hands. You have more testosterone. This has been shown through science over and over again, through whether you want to take a look at animals like chimpanzees, which are very close relatives. The alpha male has the highest level of testosterone. The second in command has less than half the level of testosterone. Like there's a dramatic increase in testosterone for that man that is going to take charge and be the entrepreneur or that leader.
And naturally, women are zeroing in on this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, naturally.
If there's an alpha man in the room, I'm going to be like, what? I can sense his energy because I crave it. I love that. And you will pick up on that. And so, again, guys need to be able to do this. You know, it's like I look back at my grandma and my mom and you know, like, especially my grandma, right? You know, it's like the women kind of were doing their things, you know, together and with my great aunts, and they did their woman thing. And then the guys were doing their guy thing. And everybody understood each other. Like, this was fine, you know? And it just seemed to me like it worked a lot better when everybody, I mean, I think everybody really just respected the benefit that each person brought to the relationship. And nobody was trying to, like, fight against that, you know, like, well, we got to turn this on our head. Now men, you know, women can be men and men can be women. And what? No, that doesn't work. Nobody in look out there in the animal kingdom. No other, there, none of the other animals are confused about this.
About the sex.
Okay. It's just us.
It is just us. And take a look at, you know, society says a lot. It's very telling. If we take a look at one of the most successful novels for women out there, and series, 50 Shades of Grey.
Right, yeah.
One of the most successful TV series or shows, I'm not going to say the second or the third one, but the movie on Netflix was 365 days.
Which I've seen, yeah.
What is so common amongst these stories is because there's a level of dominance. There's a level of testosterone. There's this level of, this guy is taking control. Now, I don't agree with, I think that's the flip side. That's the dark side as well, where we've kind of gotten to. Where it's society where a good man who is taking control and being dominant is no longer respected. And so now you have to get women aroused, you have to turn them into a dominant bad guy. And I say this to guys all the time, you have to have an edge. You have to have some mystery. You have to be, you know, a bad boy inside and show your woman a little bit of diversity and change things up and surprise her. But you don't have to be a drug dealer, for example. You don't have to, you know, go up and create chaos, right? Or create drama in your house. That's not the right side of the equation there. But these two series, and if 365 was the biggest hit on Netflix, right? And 50 Shades of Grey was...
Yeah, that guy's damn good looking.
Yeah. And what was the whole thing? It was just,
just a dominant guy, you know, who's doing dominant stuff and he falls with a girl and he's going to conquer her. He's just like a Viking conquering shit, you know, like, I mean, but that's hot. See, this was saying women, we got to get out of our own ways. We love this stuff. We are drawn to it. We're biologically designed for it. And another thing that birth control does, by the way, is it also, see, you know, men are so into smells, right? They can smell, you can smell your woman. Like, you know, you could probably walk into a room and if she's there without seeing her, you will probably know. It's like, it's that old lizard brain, right? And women, so you're designed to do that because you can smell, basically sniff out any sort of genetic insufficiency. That's the idea where you know, like, okay, our DNA should not be mixing. And women have that ability too, but birth control snubs it. So I think women are picking the wrong guys too. Because their birth control's confusing them. That's another, get off birth control, ladies.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree.
You're picking poorly. You can't smell out his genetic is those genetic weaknesses that you don't want to be breeding with.
Yeah, and that kind of opens up this whole other can of worms too, because just the way society, we've gotten away from family units, we've gotten away from morals and principles and character being a key piece, that now people are just being raised differently. And because they're being raised, both men and women, the character in both men and women have dropped.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. But I think I'm optimistic. Are you? That's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you at this point, I'm going to be sensitive on the time here. Do you see what, you know, are you optimistic or are you, what do you think here? I think it's going back.
I am optimistic because I think that we are just like anything, to have change, you have to go through those tough times. Otherwise, change doesn't happen. So I think we are going through the tough times right now. Like I openly say to guys my age, and I'm in my 40s, we are the last line of defense here. If we don't raise our boys to be boys and girls to be girls, we're, you know, this is going to be changing quite a bit. We're the turning point. But I do agree it's happening. We're having more mindful conversations around this. Now women are starting to say, yeah, you know what? F this feminist crap. As women, we want men around. We want strong men around. And at some point, you know, this whole gender neutrality thing, people will get tired of it and say, you know what, we have to really go to the real science behind things. And when I say this, I do not mean and have any disrespect for any people who choose to be of one gender or the other gender or change their gender. That's their own choice. Everybody needs to be respected. But society as a whole, we are not gender neutral. It is impossible for us to be gender neutral and for us to operate that way. So at some point, we will have a rebalancing. So I'm completely optimistic. How long that's going to take? I think it just really depends on these conversations that we're having. And I think ultimately what it's going to come down to is parenting. I think that's what it's going to come down to. It's really going to come down to how we raise our children, because they're going to be the next generation.
Trophies.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last question. What are some of the misconceptions about male wants and needs that you believe women would be really surprised to know?
Well, first of all, that we're just like these brainless animals that just need to have sex all the time because it's an innate urge in us. No, if your man wants to have sex with you, and if he loves you, it's because he wants to connect with you.
He wants to connect. I know. That's the one thing. We don't look at it that way. We don't understand how important it is for men, really.
And it's such a horrible thing, because when a woman says no, she's literally rejecting herself. Because it's like, why would you want to reject a person that wants you? Now you're basically telling them, why don't you go find somebody else? That is just, it's self-defeating. That's the one thing. The other one is intimacy and touch. We as men need just as much intimacy and touch as women. We just maybe perhaps don't say it, or we want it in different ways. So intimacy is great. So whether you're rubbing your man's back or his leg or whatever it is, you, even if you hold his hand, that's okay. It's something that men want. This need for intimacy, this is something I learned from my dad, and I didn't learn it until later on in the years. And the most masculine men have a need for intimacy and touch. And so we need to be able to, for women should be able to give that to their men. That's the first thing. The other thing is, if we're talking about misconceptions here, is men want to be wanted just as much as women do too.
Yeah, I know. I do my best to make sure that I'm in some small way, at least once a day, if not at least every other day, like where I do something where I'm flirting with my guy, and he knows that I think he's the shit, you know, like, just it's there's small little ways to do it, and then there's bigger ways, you know, that are a little bit more obvious. But just guys, I mean, just the thoughtfulness, they appreciate that too. And it's weird, and I was guilty of it myself, where it's just like, it's the weirdest thing where these things that you appreciate, it's not clicking, like, oh, hey, he would probably like this too. And I don't know why, because I was attributing like a lot of that stuff to as a feminine quality or whatever, you know, which is not true. But just that, you know, I'm like, oh, they don't really need that as much as like I need that, but they're guys, so they don't need that. But they do. They absolutely do.
And the other one, this belief that men don't want a good relationship, that they just want an average, or they don't really care about the relationship. the vast majority of men want a good relationship with their significant other, with their spouse. Like, that's just, so there's, if it's not happening, or if he's not putting in the effort, there's a reason for it. But men do want a great relationship with their woman.
Yes. Okay. So I know you have a lot, you have classes, right? You teach, you have a book, you have all kinds of stuff. Tell everybody where they can find you and then what they can find on your website.
Sure. Yeah. So the easiest ways is going to purdeepsangha.com. That's purdeepsangha.com. That's my website. You can also go to completemanbook.com and that'll take you to the book, The Complete Man. And if the audience, if you're looking for the audio and the ebook, I can give you a discount code if you go to completemanaudio.com and use the discount code VICTORY75. So VICTORY and then 75, the number all together, no spaces. You'll get 75% off the digital audiobook and ebook combo there. And you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Or you could also check out my podcast, completemadpodcast.com.
Yes. So, and then last question. On the Complete Mad Podcast, if someone were to start listening, like, what's your favorite episode that you've done? You have like 270 episodes or something like that. What is your favorite episode?
Oh, wow. I would say if I take a look at the most popular episodes, there's this one called The C's to Success. I believe it's, I can't remember. I think it was The 5 C's to Success. So that one is a popular one. The one that I'm doing right now, I'm doing a series. It's called The 13 Maxims of the Complete Man, which are the 13 principles. So again, we've done studies with over 4,000 men, and there's 13 principles that we came out with that lead to men being higher performers, better achievers, and more fulfilled in life and being more successful. And I'm sharing those right now. But I think the one also with Dr. John Gray is a great one, because he talks about, you know, back from those days, the differences between men and women as well. And so there's a few cool episodes that we have on there.
Yeah. But are those your favorite? Like, what is your favorite? Because I have an episode that's my favorite that might not be everybody else's favorite, but it's absolutely like my...
Okay. So I'll share. Okay. My favorite, I have two episodes, and I'm going to quickly, briefly share this story because I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
There was a mass shooting in Milwaukee a number of years ago. And the person, one of the people that whose father died in that shooting, this gentleman became best friends with the shooter's mentor, the person who basically, it was a racial shooting. This guy came in, killed like 8 people. And the person that drove him, not drove him, but his mentor was this ex-skinhead. So get this ex-skinhead that started this group is now best friends with someone that his dad died as a result of the work that he did. These guys are working together now. And this ex-skinhead now is a Buddhist, and he's helping change the world, particularly in the US now, where he educates people, but also helps the FBI identify other skinhead groups that are these crazy, I'm going to say they do these crazy things, but that's my favorite because it goes, the whole storyline here is anybody can change. Anybody. So if we take a look at these guys that are criminals and all of a sudden they turn out to be completely different in serving other people, that's my favorite episode because it just shows how powerful men can be both on the dark side and on the side of light.
Perfect. All right. Well, I will give that one a listen. All right. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show. And guys, if you didn't catch all the links for Purdeep, don't worry, they'll be in the show notes. So you guys can just click on the links and catch up with him and definitely check out his podcast and definitely check out his website. Thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure having you on. And thanks everybody for listening and sharing a part of your Saturday with us. You guys know what I love for you to do. I love, love, love your feedback. It's super easy to do. Go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and leave me a voicemail. I get back to each and every one of you personally, and it's a chance that we can share ideas. You can give me comments about shows or anything you want to know. Dealer's choice, guys. Let it run, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. All right, everyone, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Love you guys. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend. And make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers-only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.